without sports. And you can't have sports without the fan. Sports Radio 101.9 FM, 66 WFAN, New York.
Welcome back to The Fan. Lori Rubenson here with you. And the break up the Reds, worst team in the National League, but ever since they traded for Matt Harvey, they don't seem to be able to lose. To talk about Matt Harvey and what's going on post-trade, we bring in C. Trent Rosenkranz, covers the Reds for The Athletic. How are you?
I'm fantastic.
Yeah, you know what? Matt's your good luck charm. So the Reds have already fired their manager this season. They're struggling. You know, they've been terrible, and yet they're 6-0 since they traded for Matt Harvey. With the Mets, things were awkward, negative energy around the clubhouse. So let's start there. How has Matt Harvey been in the clubhouse with the Reds?
Fine, as far as I can see. He's been fine when he's there. I talked to him this morning. It's fine. They've been winning. All is good.
All is good. And with the media, how's he handling that? Sometimes in New York, things could be a little prickly with the media.
So far, so good. I mean, but, you know, he's had an introductory press conference. And then one, he met with us right after his first outing, which couldn't have gone much better.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all fine. I mean, I kind of actually today introduced myself and all that. And Nothing out of the ordinary. The funny thing was post game the other day in Dodger Stadium, he's kind of waiting for everybody to get there after the game, and he just looked around and he goes, "This is it. I'm used to 900 people." And I look back and I'm like, "This is bigger than what you're usually going to get on the road with our crew." So it'll be a different world for him.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
You're not in Kansas anymore, or New York in this case. You're in Cincinnati, a very nice town, by the way. I've been there, but it's certainly from a media contingent standpoint, you're right, a little smaller than New York. One thing that I was saying when I came on the program about Matt Harvey is, help me out here, because obviously I was not there in Los Angeles the other night, but I was. When I saw I was watching the game on MLB Network from home and saw the radar gun seem to be hitting 95 and 96 on Matt Harvey's fastball. And so first question is the radar gun broken out there at Dodger Stadium?
No, I mean, we were there for four games and everything was pretty representative among the other pitchers that the Reds have. I didn't see anything really out of the ordinary radar gun readings wise.
Was accurate, 95-96, because otherwise I've decided that maybe his fastball, his 96 mile an hour fastball, must have moved to Los Angeles and not let us know, and that's where it's been living all this time, because we haven't seen it in years around here. What did he say, or anybody say, about that kind of velocity after that game?
He just said he was pretty excited. He said he took a little peek behind his shoulder and saw 96 when he felt like he'd let one go pretty good, and he was happy to see that. From everybody I talked to Tim Britton quite a bit, our Mets writer at The Athletic, and Matt looked pretty good in spring training, and the other scouts have told me that he looked pretty good in spring training and kind of left that guy in Florida. So maybe it was something of just having that time off, because he didn't pitch for that long. Or he had some time off and wasn't pitching. Maybe that is what helped him get that velocity. We'll see. I mean, this was one start, but it was one really good start.
Now, talking to C. Trent Rosenkranz about Matt Harvey, and in a moment we'll get to Devin Mesoraco and what Mets fans can expect from him, but the other part of the trade. But in thinking about Matt and this trade, Matt Harvey's going to be a free agent at the end of the season, and obviously he's been trying to elevate his value and pitch for a contract. It hasn't gone well in New York. From the Reds' standpoint, a team that clearly has to be rebuilding, because they're not good now. So you tend to rebuild around young players. What is it that what's the long game here for the Reds? What are the Cincinnati Reds hoping to get out of this Matt Harvey situation long term?
Well, basically, they think that there's a better chance of getting good young prospects by trading Matt Harvey at the trade deadline than trading Devin Mesoraco, because Devin Mesoraco is going to be a free agent at the end of the season as well. So really, that's kind of what they saw is, who knows what team is going to need a catcher at the trade deadline. Everybody always needs pitchers. So there was a team with a need for a catcher, and they matched up. And, I don't think anybody is under the idea that Matt Harvey is going to be in a Reds uniform in August.
So this was essentially, which makes a lot of sense, that, this is Reds management saying, okay, let's buy a lottery ticket. The upside potential. We know what we can get in a trade for a Devin Mesoraco, so let's buy a lottery ticket, and maybe there's the upside if we can turn this guy around and show even a mirage of this 95, 96 mile an hour fastball and a few good starts, we flip it for, it's a fixer-upper.
Yeah, it's a flip job, and the potential, maybe it's in a better neighborhood than where Devin Mesoraco would be, and which you would flip that. So that's the hope, is that you can get more. And actually they did pay, because they're going to pay, the Reds are paying all of the $13 million owed to Devin Mesoraco. So the Mets get some savings as well. They don't have to pay the Devin Mesoraco. That was spent money to the Reds.
What were the comments after the game about Harvey and the start? I mean, obviously, we're not going to go too crazy. There's the famous Bill Parcells phrase about not wanting to put somebody in Canton. We're not sending Matt to Cooperstown after four innings. But the thought process in getting him out of the game so quickly, Jim Riggleman there, any comments afterwards of, was this about maintaining his confidence or just a pitch count he was on? Because he was so efficient, it was only 55 pitches in four innings.
Yeah, Jim said that the question wasn't whether he was going to go out for a fifth, it was whether he was going to go out for a third.
Oh.
And they had talked about that before the game, that they weren't expecting him to go too far just because he hadn't pitched for a little while, and they wanted to be judicious with his use, and they were pretty happy to get four. And Tucker Barnhart, the Reds catcher, was glowing about what he saw from Matt Harvey. Talked about that 96 and then the other pitches. They were pretty happy. But again, this is one start.
Yeah.
It was also at Dodger Stadium.
Yeah.
There are a lot of long fly ball outs that may be outs at Dodger Stadium that are not at Great American Ballpark.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see how he handles that, which obviously is a much more home run friendly ballpark. All right, flipping to the other part of this trade. So Devin Mesoraco is now the Mets' new starting catcher, and obviously, as you mentioned, Tucker Barnhart is the Reds' starting catcher, good young catcher who, clearly the starter there, and Mesoraco a backup. But can you give Mets fans the scouting report here? Let's start with what kind of person are the Mets getting from your experience with Devin Mesoraco?
I think you're getting a top-notch person. That's the number one thing. Devin Mesoraco had probably some of the toughest years in baseball that we've seen. You've talked about all these surgeries and setback after setback. And he is, I'll tell you a little story that I thought was really interesting that somebody threw to me the other day. 2015 was the year that the hip first came out. And you have to remember that he was an all-star catcher in 2014. 2015, he gets hurt early. And it's about this time, 3 years ago, and Devin calls up the scouting director for the upcoming draft and says, hey, I kind of want to see what you guys do. And the scouting director says, yeah, come on up. It's fine. And Chris Buckley, the scouting director, was expecting Devin to be there for, an hour and check out and listen to the guys go over the physicals and all that. So Devin Mesoraco was there 10 days, the entire draft process, watching tapes, going over what he saw from these guys, looking at scouting reports, listening to the scouts, listening to the medicals, and doing everything that they do in the draft room. and they actually drafted a catcher in the first round that year. And he said Devin really watched a lot of the tape and looked at him and evaluated him. And he said, you know, the scouting director, Chris Buckley, just said he was blown away by Devin and what he did.
So it sounds like he's a guy that that maybe the Mets could use in their front office as well as behind the plate, because maybe they could use some help there as well. That's a great story. Appreciate that one. All right, so now how about, you know, the key thing, as you mentioned, is he has to stay healthy. And, we don't know about that, but how about the scouting report for Mets fans who are less familiar with his game? Let's start defensively. How does he call a game, block balls in the dirt, throw out base runners, frame pitches, all of that? What's he like defensively?
He's struggled with some of that in the past, and a lot of that has been recently just his struggling with some mobility and such when you have the injuries that he's had. I think some pitchers like throwing to him, some maybe not as much, but he's a smart guy. He's a hard worker. He and Tucker Barnhart, even throughout all this, worked side by side the whole time. And, he's not Tucker Barnhart behind the plate, but few are. I mean, this is a guy who won the Gold Glove last year. He's a hard worker. We'll see if the athleticism is still there that was once. And I think it was kind of tough for him this year because he wasn't getting regular time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that carried over to offense as well. When he plays more, I think he'll play better. And he wasn't going to get that here, especially with Tucker Barnhart.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that also then offensively, is that at least watching him at the plate, he certainly seems to have an idea of what he's doing. And lately, since both of the Mets co-starting catchers have gotten injured, offensively, it's been kind of brutal to watch the Mets catchers hit. At least Mesoraco seems to have a credible at-bat there. So as he gets more at-bats and regular playing time, if he can be the starter, is he a guy with the bat that you think, I know the numbers last year were not that great, but you feel like he still has something left offensively?
I think so. I mean, he has to play and get in a rhythm, and that's something he has just not been afforded here with the emergence of Tucker. So, you certainly see that he can still hit the ball really hard, and he's done that a couple times I've seen in New York, and that's something that's good, but we shall see. I think it's definitely there. I don't put money on any sports because I know more better than that.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a guy that certainly has the ability, and the one thing you will never question is the effort.
And final question before I let you go. So ultimately, can't help ourselves. We have a tendency to look at things as a zero-sum game and say who won a trade or who wins a trade. When we look back on this one, ultimately, what would it take for one team to win this trade? Or in your mind, is this one where you look at it and say it seems fair and it's a draw?
I think both teams got what they want. If there's going to be a winner, we probably won't know for 5 years.
So, yeah,
it's going to depend on who you get back.
Yeah, it'll depend on that trade and to see how that pans out. All right, fair enough, fair call. C. Trent Rosenkranz covers the Reds for The Athletic. Apparently went out to Los Angeles and met Matt Harvey's old fastball, which has been living there. Really appreciate the time. Catch up with you down the road.
All righty, no problem. Thanks for having me.